At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Love at First Sight still exists. It's available at your local shelter.
This June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too.
Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Help! We suck at being newlyweds.
With Dean Ungler,
Haylen Miller Keys,
and Jared Haven,
an iHeartRadio podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help! We suck at being newlyweds, and I'm going to silently clap for myself for getting correct on the first
golf
try.
Club.
Looking at you, Jared. We got a great episode for you guys today, and I hope you stay tuned for all of it because we talk about some really cool stuff and we haven't even talked about it yet, but I'm just projecting and assuming that we're going to talk about
well we're
really
just cool people
stuff.
So we talk about cool stuff. Speaking of cool stuff, make sure you tune in on Thursday. We have Rydell Funk who's coming. She was on Disney Channel. I remember that. I mean, obviously she's
her brother was on Disney Channel.
Ross Lynch. And Dean Kalen and I were just talking about, remember like the commercials where they had the wand and it'd be like, you're watching Disney Channel.
This is Beans and you're watching Disney
Channel. This is Beans. That's not his name in real life.
Right. But he did one of them. And there was a while, like maybe a couple years ago, where the blooper reels or like they were posting the video without the animation. Yeah. And it's like so awkward and
so
funny.
The behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I'm Liz McGuire. And you're watching Disney
and
Channel.
Beans is, I remember specifically being extra awkward. For
oh, I remember. She didn't say Lizzie. Hillary Duff.
Right. Yeah, because I guess they would say their name, which is interesting because as a kid, you would kind of always think that the character they're playing is who they are in real life.
Yeah.
But then they'd be like Hillary Duff. But you're like, wait, your name's Lizzie McGuire, I thought.
I do kind of remember the Beans one being super awkward.
Yeah.
All right. Beans is from Even Stevens, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just making sure, remembering my Disney Channel shows.
I this is going to sound really stupid, but did he love beans or did he love bacon?
I don't remember.
He must have loved beans because his name is Beans. I know he was obsessed with the food. I kind of want to say it's bacon.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Right, because then his name would be Bacon.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the irony of it. Maybe that's the joke right there.
Yeah.
Even Stevens was ahead of its time. Do you remember the musical episode?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Dean sings it all the time.
Six period.
No, I said we went to the moon in 1969.
1968, yes.
But the year after. I haven't sung that in a long, long time.
Yeah, okay, it's been a year or two.
I go through phases though. Yeah, I'll sing a lot of Even Stevens musical songs. And then I'll give it a break for like a year or two and then I'll go back
and
then
it comes back.
I think we're back into the phase of the Even Stevens
or
songs.
Moana. It goes from Even Stevens to Moana.
Oh my gosh, sorry, I'm singing
the
house.
Great. It's great. I'm just telling people what you sing around the house.
I'm just telling people what you sing. What do you sing around the house?
Yeah, Kaylin, what do you sing?
I don't know.
Dude.
Nothing.
You don't hum anything?
I think we both kind of make up songs sometimes.
Yeah. Dude, it's just constant Sesame Street and Miss Rachel. It's I hate it because I'll be in the car by myself driving to work. My opportunity to listen to adult music, music that I like, and yet I'm in the car and I can hear in my head, happy, happy, dance, dance, happy, happy, dance, dance. When we learn something new, we do the happy dance, dance. And I'm like, oh my God. I got to get this out of my head.
You should start like blaring AC/DC or Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Dawson,
so I can just.
This now. Yeah.
So I can come home to Dawson.
Just headbanging the whole time you come home. Dad's home. Let's go.
Yeah. Thunderstruck. Dad's home. Let's go, Dawson.
But let's talk about Kaylin real quick. So Kaylin just got back from her trip with Rafa Nadal.
Sure did. It was amazing.
Do you know who Rafa is, Jared?
Are you saying Rafael Nadal?
So this is what I said. He was like, I saw Rafa today. And I was like, oh, you better call him Rafael because that's his name and you will give him that respect. And she was like, no.
No.
Everyone calls him Rafa. On this, all the signs, his name is Rafa.
I was at the Rafa Nadal Academy. Rafa Nadal, not Rafael. Rafa. And then we met him and they're like, hey, Rafa's here. Everyone calls him Rafa in Spain. Maybe it's just a Spanish thing.
Maybe. Yeah, it could be.
It's so you're telling me his name is not Rafael Nadal?
It is Rafael. It's like his nickname.
Yeah, everyone calls him Rafa. And I was at the Rafa Academy. Rafa Nadal Academy, you know? So it's like, I guess it's his nickname that he just goes by.
Right. Right.
Why would you have the academy be named after his nickname?
Because
should it be
what?
It's an academy.
Yeah.
Rafa isn't it like astute?
But it's still his first name, last name, academy.
It's not like a lecture hall or a laboratory.
Yeah, but like say there was a school named after you, Dean. It wouldn't be Deanie Babies Academy. It
would be sick.
I mean, that'd be a cool name. Don't get me wrong. I would definitely pay for tuition there, but it would be Dean Unglert or Dean Bell.
Yeah, that's
Academy.
True. Right. You'd want it to be like the proper pronunciation of your legal name.
Yeah, actually, right?
No, but right. But if you're off in it all, I guess you've won a million grand slams and you can kind of do whatever you want.
A million, exactly.
Was it 2 million?
Roughly.
Yeah, it's 2 million.
But how was that?
It was so cool. So first I was in France last episode, and that was a blast, even though it rained every day, and we were supposed to be there to shoot my friend's clothing line. So we did the best that we could with all of the rain, and we didn't really get to explore much. But I don't know. It was still beautiful. Definitely want to go back and explore more. And then we went to Spain. We went to Mallorca. And I thought Mallorca, I didn't have much knowledge of it prior. And I was like, if I were to go there, I'd probably spend 3 days there. But there's so much to do on the island. It's so big. And I feel like we barely, scratched the surface there. But we, first day, we just kind of relaxed. We went to the Rafa Nadal Museum, which was so cool. And then the next day we played tennis. We met Rafa. We got coached by his coach and some other coaches. We played tennis for 2 hours. It was so much fun. And then we kind of explored the island. I was there with Kia. So we drove the Kia EV6 GT, which was a great car.
Hey, they're not sponsoring this podcast. You don't have to plug them.
But I will.
But maybe they should. You know, Kia, hey. Yeah,
you know, it was actually an awesome car and drove around the island. And it was really cool because with brand trips, typically you're on their schedule, the brand schedule, they plan everything out and they gave everyone their own car to just kind of explore. So it felt like it was your own trip rather than a brand trip. I felt like me and MK were just hanging out, continuing our France trip. So that was really cool and different and fun. And then they had this create your own experience where they had 5 different options to choose from. So we all did different things. The next day, I was supposed to go kayaking through caves, but the waves were too rough. So I just drove through different towns in Mallorca and then went horseback riding. And the horseback riding was insane because they're different levels. And they were if you're more experienced, we can go on the beach and do this harder trail. So they took us on the easy trail, which was actually really hard. And the horses were stumbling. And we were all a little freaked out, but we got to...
Stumbling?
Yes.
Were they drunk?
No, they were tripping and not... It was such a rocky, rough trail. But so they're all rescue horses. Mine was an old racehorse and they're kind
Aww.
Of... They're used to just flat paths. So then they're adjusting to the roughy terrain.
What was your horse's name?
They never told me, actually.
Hmm. Oh, well, that's sad. I feel like all these racehorses have...
Really cool names.
Cool names.
They basically put us all on horses and just said... Okay, pull the reins to stop and then release. It's like a car. And then we took off. And two of the horses hated each other. So one almost bucked a girl off. It was a pretty wild experience, but
yeah, some horse drama here.
Lots of horse drama. And they just didn't listen
Vanderpump
to us.
Rules of horses.
For real.
For real. This horse was hooking up with that horse behind this horse's back.
For 10 years.
And this horse was a bitch and he was an asshole and he was a sweetheart though.
But it was like my dream trip. I love tennis. I love horseback riding. So it was unbelievable. And love Rafa Nadal.
How good are you at tennis? Don't be humble.
She's a 4.
How good are you?
You're a 5.
Four out of what?
There's rankings.
There's a weird rating system for tennis that I just learned about last week. And I was like, yeah, My instructor told me I'm about a 4 now. And
no, my coach was like, I'm a 3.5. If I can fix my serve, I'm a 4.
It's like a tennis handicap.
But Jared's right. Like, out of what? It is. Yeah, it's like a
I
tennis
I think it's
handicap.
Out of 5.
Oh. You're a 4 out of 5,
or
Kaylin?
A 6. Or a 6. I'm not that good. I'm not that good. I'm a 3.5.
So does that make me like a 5.5?
You're like a 2.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Kaylin, you're better at tennis than Dean.
Yes.
Here's the thing. She's more technically proficient, but I'm more athletic.
No, you have not played with me. I take lessons consistently now. You haven't played with me since I've taken like
That's true. But even
lessons.
On your best day, I think I can
no,
beat you.
I am actually really good
Just
now.
Because I am more athletic than you.
No.
Not like generally speaking.
I can beat Tori now. I beat Tori
I'm not
at
saying
pickleball.
You're bad at tennis. I just hold my own opinion of myself so high.
Oh, but you're wrong. So I'm
well
decent.
We need to settle this. I need investment in this. My money. So you when's the last time you two have played?
2 years
Probably
ago.
Like, yeah.
Two when years
was,
ago.
When I wasn't good. And now I take lessons.
I've secretly been taking lessons too.
Yeah, right.
Between golf shots, no, I'll take out my tennis racket and work on my forehand.
Obviously on the 17th hole. So Dean, have you played in the past 2 years?
No, the only time I play is with her.
Dude, Kaylin's gonna whoop your ass.
Look,
the first time
like
you guys
I'm telling
play.
You, I can control my whole square on the court. I can be anywhere at any time.
He lobs the ball. He goes way too far. He goes out.
I
of
lob
court.
The ball because it's easier for you to return the ball with
no,
a lob.
It's much harder, actually.
Okay, well then
on
next
a lob,
time
yeah, it's just like
is it like a curve ball?
It just goes up so high, and then comes down, and it's slow, and you know.
Yeah, is there anything, because I play with my friends, is there anything like legitimate about changing someone's eye level? Hmm. Does that actually mess people up?
What do you mean?
Like, because sometimes I'll hit a lot. In my obscure head. So I'll volley and I'll hit it over the net.
Pipe on
and then head. They'll volley back. And sometimes I'll just hit it high because their head will go back and kind of like the sun gets in their eyes. And like, I think it throws off their equilibrium if I hit one high yeah. and then the next one's a line drive at them.
Nice. Dude, you're playing
you think
chess,
there's any...
they're playing checkers.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
I don't think so. But...
I think there's got to okay, be some truth. I bet you not to the same extent you're thinking of, but it's got to like affect you at least a little bit.
Maybe.
I like how Dean and I are the ones like,
yeah, yeah,
Kaylin's
me.
The 4 here. And we're like, nah, bro, definitely, man. This
yeah,
works.
For sure, for sure. Lob all you want. They're going to get screwed.
So we played with some people who are really, really good. And their trick shots were just
Who,
insane.
Rafa? Did you play against Rafa?
No. We only had like 10 minutes with Rafa. But his coach coached us, which I think is really cool. Charlie Moya, who's also like a huge tennis player. Mm.
Did you see any like of Rafa's serves?
No, he didn't. See, he's injured right now. He just pulled out of... What was it? The French Open. So he's injured and they didn't think he was going to come to the trip at all because of the injury.
I think it's so interesting and it makes sense when you really think about it, but like when Rafa Nadal has a coach or like John Rahm, who won the Masters, has a coach, like the best player in the world is being coached by someone who's not nearly as good as them, you know?
And then to be at the yeah. Academy with Charlie Moya there, who coached him. That's what someone told me. I haven't fact checked that, but I'm pretty sure Charlie Moya coached him. I could be wrong. But just like to have his coach there standing at his academy with like 30 tennis courts. He has a museum to himself. He has a like hotel. We stayed at the Rafa Nadal Academy, which is also a hotel. Like people go to school there. It's just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That was my thought.
Right. But we just didn't really get to expand on my thought at all. But I see what you're saying. It is crazy.
Well, but like to have your coach be there and see all of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Like you're probably a billionaire and your coach is like, I'm sure he's doing well for himself. But like, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing with golf. Anytime I'm watching golf and like Phil Mickelson is talking to his caddy.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, you know what you're doing. Why do you need someone to help you pick a club?
It's interesting. Like, on the surface,
you're one of the best
so
players in the world.
Right. You're like, well, what do you need help for? You're so good. But then
at
the end of the day too,
help.
Like, yeah, exactly. And it is good to have like a second opinion and like maybe people are better at reading greens and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, so cool. It sounds like you had a great trip. I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was right on that coach thing, but
I don't think anyone is really going to worry about whether you were wrong.
Do you two play, so you play golf together, you play tennis together. Do you play any other sports together?
We don't play any of those things together, really.
We play pickleball. We just haven't this year yet.
I mean, we played pickleball together. We should play more.
Yeah. Well, it just got warm out.
Well, now it's like too warm to play.
No, we could play more.
Just got warm out. What a Vegas thing
it finally got
say.
over 100. They could finally go outside.
I just want to correct myself. His name's Carlos Moya.
Oh, well, it's good thing you fact checked.
Yeah. Anyways, pickleball. Yeah, we should play.
Right. We don't really do many sports together, though.
No, just...
Do you and Ashley do any sports together?
No, that's why I was asking. It's like the one thing that I wish is she is so unathletic, uncoordinated. This... Ashley's so uncoordinated. It's
we
crazy
talked about
town.
This like two episodes ago, and we suggested pickleball. Have you guys tried it yet?
We haven't tried pickleball yet. Getting at it's just, I will crush her in pickleball. I have to like really, you know.
But have you played pickleball?
Not with her. We've played tennis together, and it was a disaster. But and like it was fine. It was like, so sweet.
The ball can't really go that far, no matter how much muscle you have.
Yes, I agree. So we should try that. Actually, I was playing tennis earlier today with some people from work, and there were people playing pickleball behind us. Four old people, obviously. What a stereotype. So, yeah, we should play pickleball. Also, the problem is Ashley has no desire to do these things. I mean, she would do it for me, but I would have it would have to be me. Like, she would do it for me. It's a favor to me. And I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, you guys know, like, relationship favors. Like, there's only so...
You got to pick and choose.
Yeah, because those relationship favors are very important. Because if she's doing this for me, then the next time she's like, hey, I want to do this, I'm like, oh. And she's like, well, I play pickleball for you. And I'm like, no, it's not. No.
Yeah.
No, no. That's not... That doesn't count. And then,
well,
of course,
what's something that she would
want
to do that she would hold that over on you?
This is going to sound so first world again. Watching a TV show.
Oh yeah.
I can't do it, guys. I can't do it. I've never been able to do it. I don't think I'll ever be able to do it. I can't commit. These people who are like, hey, you should watch this show. It's four seasons long. And you just have to get through the first seven episodes and then it gets great.
I hate that.
And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll go through 7 hours of mediocre to bad TV to get to something that's kind of interesting.
That could
no,
be good.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I just can't commit, guys. I watch an episode, maybe two, and then I'm done. I'm out.
I saw a funny meme yesterday. It was like Netflix talking to you. It was like, hey, do you want to sit down and watch a 10-hour movie? And you're like, absolutely not. And then Netflix is like, well, what if I break it up into 10 segments and then you can binge it all in one day? And you're like, yeah, sign me up for that.
Yeah.
That's so
what
true.
Else would Ashley, you know, I mean, just to go, I mean, that's it's fine. It's all fine things. It's like it's more just, you know, like let's have a picnic on the beach and like very sweet things.
Oh, that's nice.
I know it's very nice. It's very nice. But I just want to freaking golf, guys.
Yeah. Gosh,
any opportunity,
so
like
guys are so similar, you know. We have so much in common.
You guys
my time
have a picnic
is so limited.
In the golf cart.
No, that's just not how it works.
It's yeah, but funny. She did, again, if she came in the golf cart, this is not a bond. This is not bonding time. That is her doing something for me. You know what I mean? And she knows it and she will use it.
Mm. Right. And then I do the same thing with Kaylin when I ask you to do something for me that I know you're not really going to like, but I want you to spend time with me. So I try to like force it a little bit. And then if Kaylin isn't 100% fully enthused and ecstatic the entire time, I'm like, oh, she's having a miserable time and she hates being here. And I just like, get in my own head and I spiral and it gets worse and worse and worse.
And I'm like, wait, I'm having a good time. I'm just being quiet right now.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, if you're not talking, you're not having a good time. And I dragged you out here and now you're being miserable and you wish you were somewhere else. And then it's just bad. But
I'm glad you know you do that because you do that.
You do it a lot.
I do it a lot. Yeah. True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight. And honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black Lead products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black Lead brand, we make room for another Black Lead brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Actually, we have a kind of this dilemma this weekend. I want Kaylin to ride on the back of my motorcycle for an hour.
Hold on. Before you go into the story, what'd you just say?
Europe was great.
Nope. After that.
Motorcycle?
Did you say dilemma?
Dilemma. We got this dilemma.
Isn't it a dilemma?
Yeah, just tomato, tomato, you know.
Continue.
We've got this dilemma. I want Kaylin to spend Sunday with me. I'm doing this wing walking thing. And
what's a wing walk?
So you know how there's these old planes that have two wings, like one high wing, one low wing?
Like this.
No.
Like an old school, like
where like the head, you're not in the plane. Your head is like kind of sticking out.
Yeah, yeah. And there's two wings in front of you, and there's two seats. So wing walking, I signed up for this like 6 months ago and totally forgot about it until like last week. You fly up in the plane with this guy. The guy's flying from the back. You're in the front seat, and you get up to like 6,000 feet or whatever, and you crawl out of the seat and you walk onto the wing while it's flying through the air. And so I'm doing that on Sunday.
I haven't asked you this. Is this a skydiving thing or then you just go back in?
I've asked them. I was like, hey, can I skydive out of the plane? And they're like, no, it's dangerous because your parachute might get caught on something on the plane or something like that. So you're tethered to the plane.
What do you mean you're tethered to the plane? What if you slip off the wing? Or how tethered are you?
Yeah, I've wondered that too. Because then like what? You're just hanging from the plane as it tries to land. I don't think that would really be very comfortable, would it?
And then you have to like try to get your grip back while you're 6,000 feet in the air. This is stupid wing walking. I'm looking it up.
So anyway, so it's an hour away from where we're staying in LA. And the only mode of transportation we have in LA is my motorcycle. So I was like, Kaylin, will you ride on the motorcycle 1 hour with me to this hangar where I do the wing walking? Because I, you know, it could be a 4 hour day, or it could be an 8 hour day. They're not really sure, weather dependent and stuff. And I just want you to hang out with me, blah, blah, blah. And Kaylin, like, obviously doesn't want to ride on the back of the motorcycle for an hour. But this is like a relationship favor thing. Like, you know, if Kaylin does this for me, then what do I have to eventually do in return for you?
Two things. I have not been on a motorcycle since we got into a crash. Second thing.
Yeah.
I'm coming to LA to spend time with you. I don't even want to go to LA. I'm going to LA just to hang out with you.
So you're already in LA, and I'm asking you to spend the whole day Sunday with me.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Exactly. That's my. But you kind of just proved my point for me. You're coming to LA to hang with me, and then you're not going to hang with me.
No, I am. Saturday is our day to hang.
Sure, but also Sunday could be our day to hang too.
Can't do it.
But
can't do it. Won't do it.
The thing with the motorcycle is, I had this super cool 1985 Honda CB750.
So cool.
It was. That's insane.
It was cool.
Of you to
it
say.
Was cool. It was, but I don't so like cool. the motorcycle.
It was so cool. How could you not appreciate that beautiful piece of craftsmanship? Anyways, it had 40-year-old brakes, and this guy illegally turned out in front of us, and we hit him. And it was just like kind of the perfect storm of things. Like, this guy didn't see us. He turned out. He cut us off. I couldn't stop in time because the brakes were bad. There was extra weight. There was water on the road, blah, 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 blah. We were perfectly fine. We walked away from it. The only motorcycle crash I've ever been in my entire life, we walked away from. And now I've got a 2021 Harley that is very capable, can stop on a dime, very comfortable. You got a backrest. I don't know, I'm asking this for you to sit on the back of it for 1 hour.
I just don't trust LA.
An hour is a long time.
It is a very long time. Oh, what about the time we did Road to Hana? You were on the back of that motorcycle for like 8 hours.
I feel safe on a motorcycle in Hawaii because people drive safe. People drive like psychotic people in LA. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Anyway,
sorry, buddy. I can't get behind you on this one. Yeah, motorcycles, they're just too scary for me.
In fairness, I am dreading that hour-long drive as well. An hour is too long to spend on a motorcycle at this age.
Bro, I'm also looking up this wing walking thing. It just, it looks intense. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
You literally, so do you know what this is, Kaylin?
Yeah. Nope. Yes, I thought he was just jumping off the wing like he jumps out of hot air balloons. No.
So he's going to, he's in the plane and he's going to climb out of the plane. Literally, you're in the seat and then you're climbing out of the seat on top of the wing. And then you strap yourself in because you're not tethered
to the plane.
Sorry,
what do you mean
plane,
you strap yourself in? What?
He's going to be, and then he's strapped up and he's standing on top of the wing. And then the plane is going to go upside down. So, but and that's when he's tethered to the plane. Doesn't and then he's sick. Flying on the wing upside down.
Are you being serious?
Sounds sick, right?
It looks.
Oh my God.
Just YouTube it. It looks so. Have you guys seen Impractical Jokers, the movie?
No.
Murray does it as a punishment. I just remember at the end of the movie.
Oh, wow. How'd he do?
So he was terrified, obviously. He was fine. And it seems like, I'm sure it's pretty safe. The thing is, it looks like if you slip,
yeah,
you're falling. I mean, you have a parachute, so you know what you're doing. But
you don't have a parachute.
What do you? I'm
you
so
have
confused.
To have a parachute.
No, you don't have a parachute.
If you slip, then what?
You're on a tether that's attached to the airplane, so you don't fall to the ground.
Yes, but there's a point where you're climbing out of the. It's not the cockpit. What is
but
it called?
It's probably
Dean?
Like yeah, a cockpit. Carabiner. It's like you're tethered to the plane. Uncarabiner, carabiner to the other thing, right?
I don't think so.
What the?
The point
I don't
is
think
you're
so
never
because this guy,
you're never not attached to something. You're fine. Okay. Like it's pretty safe.
Yeah, because that would be crazy, right? Why are you smiling like that?
Okay, I said it's pretty safe, but it's like, you know, it's all relative, I guess. I don't know. There's like,
all right, yeah. I mean, this
guy that just did it on Impractical Jokers was like 60 when he did it, probably.
He was like 40, bro.
You have to be strapped to something at all times. Otherwise, it would have been illegal.
Yeah.
Apparently. No, he's definitely strapped in, but like this guy just has a rope. This looks stupid.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you fall.
Nah, fuck that, bro.
If you
fuck
fall,
you're
hanging from the plane by a rope, and like, how does the plane land?
No. You're like, there's like a pole, it looks like, on the top of the wing.
Yeah.
With a backboard. Back to it.
Yeah.
And then you lean against it, and then you strap yourself in. And then that's when the plane goes like upside down.
Right.
That's when you're really locked in. But the point from you climbing out of the cockpit to getting to that place on top of the wing, it looks like there's a cord attached to you. Yes. But my question is, what happens if you slip? You're dangling off the side of the plane
right.
attached to this cord, and then right. you got to pull yourself back up. That sounds
what
stupid.
What shoes are you going to wear?
I'm going to wear my new green shoes that I got, New Balance. I don't know.
Maybe. Are those slick?
I don't know. Probably they're fine. It's gonna be fine.
This is crazy.
Well, I haven't gotten a good adrenaline rush in a while. I haven't skydived in
a year and a half.
I haven't gotten a good adrenaline rush in a minute.
A good adrenaline is wing walking dangerous.
If anyone's died on it, they would be out of business. They would be not in business anymore. They've expanded their operations because so many people are safely landing on the ground. Anyways, that's what I'm doing this weekend. So
there's a reason I don't look these things up.
Oh. Anyways.
Oh.
The nuts up. Oh, yeah, there we go. The not so new but utterly terrifying craze for thrill seekers, wing walking.
I'm seeking that thrill, baby. All
Jesus
right.
Christ.
As long as it's not dangerous, that's good.
I mean, I'm sure it's safe, but it just looks.
Yeah, I mean, if I encourage you not to do it, then you would be sad that you didn't do it. So I hope you have a blast.
One of my biggest pet peeves is when I get excited about doing something and I tell Caitlin how sick and excited I am to do this thing, and she like tries to talk me out of it, because then I
you
feel
should
really
feel really
guilty.
Bad that your fiance loves you and wants you to be alive for your wedding.
I understand that it's coming from a good place, but when I get excited about something, which doesn't happen all that often, or when I want to do something weird or crazy, Caitlin is typically supportive, but there are times where she tries to talk me out of it.
I've been supportive about this. I just didn't know what it was until just now.
Like I said, there are certain times where you are blindly supportive, and that's great. But there are times where I know it's a bad idea, and I don't really want to do it, but I need a positive reinforcement to get me over the hump to then do it, not you pulling me in the opposite direction.
What's an example? Because I know this happened.
Like, for instance, if we're hiking or camping and I want to get up for sunrise, or I want to go to this place, and you are not the best at waking up for sunrise.
I hate waking up for sunrise.
And so I wake up, or when we did the hot air balloon for my birthday, when I turned 30, and all my friends were there, not all my friends, but Justice was there waiting for us. And I was like, hey, sorry, we're not going to make it. And he's like, dude, what are you talking about? This is your birthday. We planned this for you. There are times where I want you to give me that little extra bit of encouragement to get me over the hump, because I know it sucks. It sucks for me too. But by you like talking about how I shouldn't do it, or how you don't want to go, or how much it sucks for you, then that makes me go on the other side of the hump, which I don't want to be on that side of the hump. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm super excited for your wing walking.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm excited for you to be there with me.
Oh.
They might have an open spot, too. You could probably jump out there. Anyways, so that's what
I'm
doing.
It'll be like
this
a couple's
weekend.
Massage, except a couple's wing walk.
Yeah. You could just hit a couple birds in the air, and that'll be like your Swedish massage. Oh, my God. True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight, and honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy, and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black Lead products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black Lead brand, we make room for another Black Lead brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Jared, what's going on with you, man? What's the update in the Rhode Island saga?
Same old, same old. Actually, so this Thursday, we have our guest, Rydell Funk, and she discusses her relationship with her family and family life. And it made me think about Ashley as well, because Rydell talks about having her mom there and how that's a huge help. And I'm like, oh, shit. Because obviously Ashley's mom is in Virginia. And I feel like Rydell and her mom probably have a very similar relationship to Ashley and her mom, Audrey, because they're very close, and how much it would help Ashley if she was physically closer to her mom. So, but the Rhode Island saga is good. I mean, Ashley's definitely liking Rhode Island more and more as the summer months are hitting. It's prime season in New England from pretty much here on out to December.
It's hard to beat Rhode Island this summer, I feel like. There are many beautiful places in the summer, but Rhode Island's got to be up there, you know?
Rhode Island's up there. Well, also because of the location, you can go to Newport, you can go to Martha's Vineyard, you can go to Cape Cod, you can go to Nantucket, you can go to Provincetown, you can go to all these different Boston, you can go to all these different places in literally a day.
How far are you from like the Hamptons?
Well, Hamptons probably like 3 hours. That's a little ways. Maybe a little bit more. Because like I know like Boston, a lot of Boston athletes go to Hamptons for vacation, either there or like Nantucket.
I'm really Northeast illiterate. Whenever you say Rhode Island and Virginia, my mind defaults to them like literally being an hour drive.
No,
it's about eight. We can get there in about seven hour drive if we hit no traffic.
Okay, gotcha. That's like LA to San Francisco or something.
Yeah. Needless to say, Kaylin would not want to be on the back of a motorcycle from the drive Rhode Island to Virginia. Neither would I. But things are good. Any updates on our end? Same old, same old. Busy at Audrey's. I mean, just still trying to find that balance, bro. Just that balance between family life, work, independency. So it's always a grind. But Dawson's doing well. He's a little sick right now. So, dude, last night, holy crap, this kid screaming. I forget what time it was. Maybe four or five, I guess. We tried to leave him in the crib, but then, I mean, he was just, it's so bad because when the kid screams and he's just working himself up more, and then he becomes so stuffy and then he can't fall asleep because he can't breathe through his nose. And it's like, dude, just relax. You're doing this to yourself. So anyway, so Ashley got up with him and then was on the couch and he was screaming. And then I was like, we just got to put Miss Rachel on just to calm him down. And Ashley was like, we're not putting Miss Rachel on. I'm just going to let him scream it out. And I'm like, no, don't do that. So this went on for like an hour and a half, but it's crazy how this kid is screaming, crying, hysterically crying through night, and then he'll fall asleep, and then he'll wake up, and then during the day, he's just, a-ba-ba, a-boopa, e-boopa-boopa. And it's like, bro, what is going on? What could you possibly be dreaming of? I know he's a little sick, so that might be it, but I also think he might be having night terrors. I don't know what the hell he's dreaming of. It definitely sounded like a night terror. So unless he's dreaming of Big Bird coming into his room and beating the crap out of him, I don't know what the hell this kid's thinking of. Because all he does is poop, pee, and play all day. That's my life right now.
Yeah, babies, I guess, maybe just like have a hint of bipolarism, you know? Like, they're so sad, and then they go to sleep. They wake up happy. They're happy all day. They go to sleep, and then they're sad all of a sudden again, and then they wake up happy, sad, happy, sad, happy, sad.
Dude, it's crazy when I see him, because the line between laughter and crying, because he'll literally be like, it's like, whoa, what happened?
We were doing so good.
We were having a great time. We were eating crackers. We were playing with balls. I don't understand. It's so funny, but it's cool. It's fun. And even we went to Home Depot yesterday and brought him with us, and he is a lot of fun when he's out and about, because I'll push the carriage fast. Like, here we go. And he's like, And then he's like trying to touch everything in colors, and then everything's a ball. He'll point to a fan, a ball. It's like, no, that's a fan. And then he'll point to like a grill, a ball. Like, no, that's a grill. But it's very adorable. And then he was hitting us last night, and we're trying to like teach him not to do this. But it's so hard because he's getting such a kick. He'll just like whack you in the chest. And of course, like I'll pretend like, oh. And then he'll be like, aha, aha. And he'll be laughing. And then, you know,
whack him back like, next time.
Yeah, just punch him square in the nose. Be like, bro, this is what happens if you hit people. Okay. Lesson learned.
Yeah. Especially bigger people. Don't pick on someone that's bigger than you. You should learn it early.
Only be in a fight that you can win. You understand me? But it's cool. So things are good. I would guess that if Rhode Island was a one in her mind 2 months ago, I'll give it a four. I think it's jumped up quite a bit. So she's doing her eyebrows, but I'm going to say a four.
Nice.
Only getting higher.
That's good. And hopefully that four turns into an eight by the end of June and then a 10 by the end of August.
Oh, dude, January.
Right, and then back down to a one. Yeah. What do you give Vegas?
Ooh. Eight.
Wow, eight. Ooh. For Vegas.
I love Vegas.
What would you guys give Denver?
Yeah. Well, I think Kalen loves Vegas, and you know I like Vegas as well. But I think what you really love is having your own house.
Yeah, but also I like not. I'm nervous about the Denver winters. But what do you rate Vegas?
I'd give it a solid seven. Conservative as well. Denver's like a six.
Yeah, Denver's a little lower to me too, so why are we moving there?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Kaylin brought this up the other day. She was like, it's always been your dream to live in Colorado. That's why we're buying a house out there. And I was like, that's so sweet of you. Thank you so much. But I don't necessarily want to live in Denver. I want to have a house in Basalt.
This.
But the houses in Basalt are all like $2 million.
Yeah, I think we need to make more money and then move.
Yeah. I don't really miss paying two mortgages.
Okay, so let's just stay here.
Yeah. And like I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but I've said it to you and my friends before, is when we had our apartment in LA, you know, our tiny apartment in LA cost $3,000 a month. Our mortgage in Vegas for a 3-bedroom house is $2,500. And so here we are.
A lot of transparency here.
Well, money transparency, I think, is important. I say that all the time. And so here we are paying $6,000 a month for our two places. And I was like, I have to either be in Vegas or be in LA, because if I'm not in those places, I feel like I'm just throwing money out the window because I'm not even living at these places. And so now that we finally moved out of our LA apartment, I feel so much less pressure to be at one of those places, you know, so I can like be in the mountains for a week. You can travel to Europe for a week. And I know you probably don't share this to the same extent I do, but I'm sure you feel at least a little the same way.
Yeah. Definitely.
And so it like opens us up to be more free, I guess, with our traveling.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I had a thought and I lost it.
Oh, man.
It just escaped.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I also think like back to the Denver thing, we're just so much closer to LA. We still go to LA quite a bit. Let's just rethink this.
I go to LA twice a month.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But if we lived in Denver, then it would be a 2-hour flight versus 30-minute flight.
Right. If we lived in Colorado, I would spend like a month at a time in Colorado probably. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
But the thing is, it was weird.
What do you mean a month at a time?
Like I would, because so like, it's just harder to get in and out of Colorado, you know, than it is like Vegas or LA.
Yeah, it just sounds like you guys shouldn't move to Colorado anytime soon.
Well, it was just so interesting to hear Kaylin say it. Sorry, all this long story long. It was weird to hear Kaylin be like, well, we're buying a place in Colorado because it's always been your dream to buy a place in Colorado. And then I felt a lot of pressure to be like, oh, you only want to buy a house in Colorado because you think I really want to buy a house in Colorado, which is not wrong. But I don't want
relationship
like,
favors, bro.
Yeah, that's a big favor.
One.
That's the biggest favor of all.
That's a big favor.
But so we bought this place in Vegas, never expecting it to be like long term. I don't know how long we expected. We just knew we couldn't buy in LA because it's insane. So I don't know. I think like in my head, I felt like, okay, what's the next place? Like felt a little bit rushed, but I just love it here. Not permanently, but for now, it's great.
And I'm doing some house renovations. You guys should see the pergola that I just built. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's just a fun place to be.
It's home.
And I'm sure you can attest to this too. You know, you guys lived in that apartment in West Hollywood, which is beautiful, beautiful apartment. But then like,
I know.
You're moving to your house. It's just a completely different feel, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It just feels like it's our own place. Like I walk out the door and it's our yard, and there's a little, now granted we have a townhouse, so there is someone next to us, but it still feels like our house, our place.
Right.
Where in LA or any apartment, really, you walk out and it's just, you're in an apartment complex or literally the person's apartment you are right next to. So you walk out like, oh, good morning. Hello.
Yeah.
They're 2 feet away. So it's much different and much nicer. So I totally agree. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. We're already over time. Look at us.
Are we? Yeah, I guess that's pretty good. I could go on and on about everything.
Every natural phenomenon.
I could go on and on about every natural phenomenon. Oh, the grass, the ground. Ooh, that was me. I was messing around.
All right, copyright on that singing one. Seriously. Well, everyone, make sure you tune in Thursday for Rydell Funk, a great guest. And then hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Anything else that you guys want to chime in on?
I'm excited to hear about your wing walking.
I begin my journey to climb all the Colorado mountains next week.
Yes, yes.
So that's exciting.
Do you want to talk about how you were supposed to begin?
Like this past week?
Yeah.
Well, Jared is pushing us out of here, so.
Well, quickly, what happened? Why didn't you start this week?
Well, so I think I told on this podcast, I'm climbing every 14er in Colorado before our wedding. And there's 58 of them, which means I've got like 110 days. So I have to climb one mountain every other day. And I flew out to Colorado.
You're never going to do this.
Excuse me. I drove to Colorado last week after climbing in Idaho. And I was like, I can climb 6 mountains in 4 days. And I get out there and they're all covered in snow. I don't have my skis with me. Like a lot of the access is closed because it's still so early in the season. And so I climbed 0. So I'm already 6 mountains behind schedule. But I'm flying back out there on Monday. I think I can climb 3 or 4 in 3 days, and then I'm flying back to Vegas, and then I fly back out, and I think I can climb like 10 more, and then we go to Bali for a week, and I fly back out, and I think I can climb 10 more.
So what happens if you don't finish the mountains? Do you just not do it, or is the wedding gets postponed?
We don't get married. My brother asked me this question, actually, because I was with him in Idaho. He was like, what happens if the wedding is 10 days away, and you've only climbed 30 mountains? Like, are you just going to give up? I was like, shoot, I honestly didn't even consider that. Like, I didn't entertain that as a reality because I'm pretty confident I can do it. But I did try to bike to the top of this mountain yesterday because the road is closed. And I thought it was 2 miles. And I get on the trailhead. It says 14 miles to the top of Evans Peak. And I was like, 14? But I'm on a bike. I can do this. 14 miles. I can do that in like 3 hours, maybe. I got 2 miles in and I was like so exhausted. I was like,
you're going up.
Yeah, you're going up. But the down is easy.
Well, duh. The down is just like you don't even pedal. It's just like I'm gliding here.
So I got 2 miles up this mountain. I got literally 1/7 of the way done with it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to turn around. The road opens.
Yeah, but that
tomorrow.
Counts, right?
No, I have to be on the top of it.
Bro.
So I'm going back.
Just
tomorrow.
If you that counts.
No, I have to be on the top. That literally doesn't count at all.
You have to go to the top of every mountain. There's no way this is happening.
Yeah, but I got my skis now, so I can ski up and then ski down. That saves me a lot of time.
I think it'll happen as long as things like this weekend don't happen where you come to LA and you're supposed to be in Colorado.
Kaylin.
Yeah. One, what I was also thinking was,
do
like,
you honestly believe that weekends like this will not occur again?
If he's focused.
Well, it's just also like, it was hard to go through my list of things that I needed because there was so much and it were for so many different trips. And so I forgot certain things and I didn't even think I needed to bring my skis with me. But now like I have to have like for the whole month of June, I have to have my skis.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
We should not move to Colorado.
Well, no, it's 14,000 feet has a lot more snow than 5,000 feet.
Even though I feel like I always see Ben post snow.
Yeah.
It's like May. And he's like, oh, we got 3 feet of snow. I'm like,
he does. He lives like kind of in the mountains, and so they definitely get a little bit more. But anyways, yeah. So, and I'm playing golf with Ben on Tuesday, which is also a really bad idea because I should be climbing mountains. But you can't pass up around a golf with Ben. Come on.
Obviously not. But then he's going to ask you to play the week after, and you're like, oh no.
It's like, well, I could drive 3 hours. I could wake up at 4 a.m., climb the mountain, and then drive 3 hours to meet you.
Yeah, no, that definitely is going to happen.
So, anyways, it's going to happen. I've put it out there so many times to so many people that like I'm counting on them to hold me accountable. Whereas like if I didn't tell anyone, I could just be like, oh, this was never an idea in the first place. But now the fact that so many people, you know, not so many, like there's like 10 people know that this is my mission. I feel like I can't let them down by not doing it.
I like that you call it a mission.
It's a mission. 58. I looked it up on the internet and I know this is so wrong, this number. They say only 1,500 people have climbed all the 14ers in Colorado.
Oh.
So I'll be 1,501. But that number is so underreported. I'm sure I was thinking it'd be like in the tens of thousands, but that's what the internet says. And so I'm sticking with it. It makes me feel cooler. And like one of my best friends in the entire world, when we were 22, he did all of them one summer with his friends. He linked them all by bicycle. And so every time I'm like, hey, Austin, I'm going to go climb this mountain. What's your opinion of it? He's like, oh, that one sucks. Save that one for later, or do this one now because it's easier to ski. And so I've got a very invaluable resource at my disposal. He's great. Willing to help me. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is the only way I'm going to be fit for the wedding. I'm going to be so fit. I'm going to smell so bad until I shower. And then I'm going to be so sexy and so fit. You're going to look at me and you're going to be like, I'm so glad he climbed all 58 of those mountains.
He's you're going to be like Doug from The Hangover showing up to your wedding because you're going to be so sunburnt from climbing these mountains. And you're barely going to finish this task. So you're just going to run up the wedding, sweating, sunburnt, probably delusional because you're just exhausted and tired.
Yeah. Well, the way that I scheduled it, the last mountain I'm supposed to climb is like 30 minutes away from the wedding venue.
What?
That actually works out quite well for you.
I'm not showing up the day of the wedding. It's like a week before the wedding. Mm. That would be crazy. I'm not going to schedule my last mountain to be climbed on the day of our wedding.
And if Dean Unglert knows anything, it's schedules.
I'm good at scheduling stuff.
So
there's like a lot of give and take with it. Like you can climb multiple mountains in a day. There's like a couple things you can do, like three in a day. And that puts me ahead of schedule. But then there might be bad weather. That puts me behind schedule. I might come to Vegas for a weekend. That puts me behind schedule. I could be an absolute beast and just not sleep for 48 hours and climb 8 mountains. That puts me ahead of schedule. Yeah, there are certain things, you know, that it's going to be an ebb and a flow process. But
I think you can do it. You did have to straight from off the flight of Hawaii, drove 5 hours. So
and
I
was in worse shape then, I think, too. I was like 10 pounds heavier. I was hungover from the wedding. I hadn't slept in 36 hours.
That was crazy.
And I was so proud of myself for that. And so that's honestly what I keep leaning on is like, well, if I could do Half Dome with no sleep and being out of shape, I should be able to do these.
Yeah, you got it.
I just have to do Half Dome 58 times.
Yeah, easy.
Anyways, that can do it now for this week's episode because Jared, sick of hearing about this.
No.
So
I just got things to do.
Yeah, you're a busy guy. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, you guys. It really means a lot to us. Keep listening and keep,
I hate that voice.
Keep sharing it with your friends. And just, you know, there's a little square with a cute little arrow sticking at the top of it. It's the share button. Click that button and send it to 3 close friends. Otherwise, you're going to have 10 years of bad luck.
Yeah. And then they can send it to 3 of their friends and then they'll send it to 3 of their friends and it'll kind of create like the shape of a pyramid. Yeah. We'll try to make some money off of it.
Don't have bad luck. Send it to your friends. Otherwise, 10 years, bad luck. So, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Help We Suck at Being Newlyweds. Jared, I love you so much, man. It's great to see you. Great to see you every week.
Love you guys.
Kaylin, you're great too.
Thank you. You do this every week.
I love you so much too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, totes
adorbs. I'm really bad at goodbyes. That's
I know. Well, make sure you guys tune in next week where hopefully we all suck just a little less.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at @HelpWeSuckAtBeingNewlyweds.
And email us at newlyweds@iHeartRadio.com.
Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. We'll see you next time.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock.
On Thursday, February 29th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you can celebrate an extra day of Black History Month with Walmart. This event is free and open to the public at 2 locations, Flatiron Plaza in New York City and Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles.
With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's the perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products.
It's free, it's for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart.
Trust, you don't want to miss it.
Love at First Sight still exists. It's available at your local shelter.
This June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too.
Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.